Hello, and welcome to episode 11 of Postgame, SideQuest Patreon podcast all about hot takes on cold games. I'm Melissa. I use she or her pronouns. I don't normally sound like this. I've not been replaced by a clone or another person entirely. I just have a head cold. I'm also the editor-in-chief.
Oh, yeah. My name is Nassim. My pronouns are they, them. I'm our managing editor, and I am coming to you from the Midwest, where it is humid, and I do not miss the humidity. So, bad humidity.
I'm Zora. I use they, them pronouns. I'm the assistant editor and copy ogre, and I'm coming to you from New York City, where it's also so humid.
Can it not?
It rained last night, and it didn't get better, and that's not fair.
Oh, that's not fair.
I'm here in the Pacific Northwest, where we've got 79-degree weather today. It is not humid, and the sky is blue, which it's not rare for the Pacific Northwest, but it is, like, remarkable.
It's 81 degrees in my bedroom.
Gross.
That's bad.
The humidity on my little desktop thermometer thingy says 51 degrees high.
No. I don't like it. I really miss Reno right now, though, I gotta say. That dry heat. Please come back.
My husband is down in California during a heat wave, and I don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, Reno also has a heat wave right now, but dry. Please, desert.
All right. So. Anyway, enough about the weather.
We're, like, really on topic today. Do you want to introduce the topic? Because it's definitely written in your voice.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to be doing a poor Zora interpretation
Here's the thing about me and how we do these podcasts. Missy is the host, but I write all the notes. And I have a really distinct writing voice.
Yep.
And also probably speaking voice, but that becomes less of a problem. And I write these intros like weeks before we actually record. So by the time we're recording, I've forgotten what I've written. So you get things like, welcome to phone game hell, my dudes, and specifically the phone games we prevent ourselves from having to be alone with our thoughts, or we play to prevent ourselves from having to be alone with our thoughts.
Yeah. I might say something in that spirit, but I would not say it in that way. But I like the way that you have written it, and therefore you have to read it.
Yep. Anyway, we're going to talk about phone games today. And when I say phone games, like, I'm sorry, I have to, like, walk myself through several caveats whenever I say things like this, because it's like we're talking about mobile games. But because the computational power of smartphones, which almost everybody who has a cell phone has at this point, mobile games are becoming just, like, games, just like all games. But there's also this genre we have in our head of mobile games. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is the secret mobile game genre that lives in your head.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I love... here's the thing. I hate mobile games, but I also love mobile games.
You've written a piece that describes precisely your relationship with mobile phone games.
I might have written four different pieces about phone games. Which is amazing for somebody who, like, doesn't like most of them. But I have, like, 85 on my phone. Because if I see garbage...
So many.
Let me look really quick. I've got at least 19.
That's so many.
That is a lot.
Do I play any of them? Like, one. They're just there for when I need them.
I have, like, four total games on my phone.
Do you mind if I start with the garbage?
Please, no. Please start with the garbage. This is the dump truck tour 2021, where the Stinky Phone Games article was dump truck tour 2019?
2020.
No, it was 2020.
Yeah. Was that early 2020? I don't remember
May
doing that.
Is when it was published.
May?
What is time?
Okay.
We just passed Stinky just Mobile Games anniversary.
Oh, so this is topical.
Yeah. So my feelings, I never really liked phone games, primarily because I really don't like match threes. I've never really found them particularly fun. Yes, I know. I wrote a whole.
Meanwhile, I love them.
I know I wrote a whole article about Lily's Garden, but like I actually hate the gameplay of Lily's Garden, but I really liked the story. So, I didn't play a lot of mobile games, but I started getting ads on Instagram, for like progressively weirder games. One of the early, and this is like the earliest one I wrote about, was My Horse Prince, which is the
that was a mobile game, wasn't it? Oh my god.
Which is one of the, like, it's just like a tapping game. That's it. And you date a man. Oh, it's been a while. You date a horse body with a man face, like an anime boy face.
I don't like that.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I wrote about it because I'm like, this game is bad. Like, it's a bad game, but it's weird. And I like that. And I like things that are weird. And, so naturally on Instagram, you know, there's a company called, let me pull up one of their games really quick, because God knows I have some. Icing on the Dress is probably a good one here. This is Lion Studios and Super Tap X. The company that makes, you know, the high heels one that was like, had like a flash moment last year.
The what?
It was a game where you keep collecting high heels, and then it's like, oh, I've got Roof Rails too. Who did Roof Rails? Voodoo is another one. These two companies, there's a few companies that make these games that are
right,
just like
shovelware. You play enough of these games that you know the companies.
Yeah, I know what I'm getting when I see the name now.
Yeah.
So, they're all these games that are like, they're not good, and they have like no difficulty curve, and the levels just repeat forever. Who did this one? Run of Life. This is another like Voodoo. It's a Voodoo again. These games are just trash, and I download every single one of them because I want to see like what new flavor the trash comes in. So like, the ones that I have currently, Roof Rails is one where you just, hold on a second, it's loading. You run through over some rooftops, and then you just collect little sticks that make the stick that you're holding longer. And then you just, like, and it's like an endless runner, basically. Well, it's not endless, but you collect these little sticks, and you try not to get your sticks cut off by the random spinning, you know, saw blades, because those are everywhere. And then eventually you reach a point where there are just some rails sticking off the building, and then you coast along them and you hope that your stick is long enough. And mine wasn't, and I fell off the roof and died. And it just goes on like that forever. Wow. Or you have high heels and you got to get your high heels higher, or you got to get your hair longer.
That one, I think.
Yeah. I see that shit and I immediately download it, just to see what new garbage I can get out of it. And like, the ads work on me every time because I see it and I'm like, well, I gotta try it. I gotta know how shitty is this one.
I'm looking at pictures of Roof Rail specifically, and I'm just like fascinated by the production values of this game, because they're not high.
No, they all look terrible. Every one of them.
But they're also like it's interesting seeing what modern low budget, low poly work. is. And I don't mean like, you know, sometimes we can say low budget and mean like three people in a basement making their first game full of absolute like passion and love for the thing that they're doing. And so you get these really innovative, like aesthetically pleasing works with small palettes and low polygon counts. And then you get something like Roof Rails.
This is not that. This is the opposite of that.
Which is
85 people could work on this game, and it's just absolute trash. But like I say that, and I download every single one of them because mm-hmm. I see a weird thing, and I have to try it. I gotta know. And this works on me in a bunch of different ways. And to the point, eventually I'm going to write about mobile game advertising. I have like 85,000 screenshots saved on my phone of the different ways that mobile games advertise themselves, because there are different trends. Mm-hmm. Like for a while, and this is so fucking weird. There was a trend where you would always have a character in the ad who had to pee, and it was your job to do whatever the game required to get that character to the bathroom so they could pee.
I don't like that.
I don't either. It felt like I'm like, this is, I don't, it like, it's not inherently sexual, but I feel like it's sexual in some way.
I mean, it's like, it's like, it's like exploiting some sort of vulnerability.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Wasn't big on that trend. For a while there was the trend of like, your boyfriend is coming over, and you have to get dressed. No matter what choice you make, you look like a fucking clown at the end of it. which I think was pioneered by Project Makeover. Is the first one I remember. What was that, Nassim?
I'm going to talk about Project Makeover because that's what the game is now.
That, like, I feel like that trend really originated with Project Makeover, but then it got picked up by games like Dress Up Time Princess, I think is what it is, which is not what Dress Up Time Princess is like at all. I've played Dress Up Time Princess, I know. But there's all those story games, right, that are like, I caught my husband cheating, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And I've downloaded my fair share of those because I just love story games, and I'm here to tell you that there are good ones. There are Pixelberry's Choices has some good shit in it, and I was genuinely surprised by like how much I enjoyed the story. Like, I didn't play all of them because who has the time? But I played, I've played a couple of them, and I was like actually really impressed with like the writing and the, like the depth of the story was like surprisingly good. And then we have my real one true mobile game, which I have not yet written about, but I will, which is Love Island, the game. I have never watched Love Island ever. Never. I've never had the urge to watch Love Island. Well, that's not true. I have had the urge to watch Love Island after playing Love Island.
I was about to say, how has Love Island the game affected your desire to watch Love Island the show?
I know that Love Island the show is not going to live up to Love Island the game.
That's probably true.
But I am intrigued by Love Island the show primarily because the game is so fucking silly. I want to see real people do this silly shit. So Love Island, if you're not familiar with it, is a Big Brother-esque show where the concept is put a bunch of hot singles in the villa, it's called. They have to couple up to avoid elimination. And at the end, the last standing couple has the choice to stay together and split $50,000, or one of them takes $50,000. Mm. Yeah, it's garbage.
Wait, hold on. How long do they have to stay together? I feel like if you've already been a couple, quote unquote, for a long time for this television show, you can fake it for a minute.
Yeah, I don't know that they, like, I would imagine you could totally just fake it and just be like, yeah, well then we're going to split the 50,000, 25,000 each. Like, I don't know that there's any pressure to actually have to stay together. It's more like you get coupled up within the show and that's how you avoid elimination. And then like people, like the audience votes on who they like most and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is that how they get eliminated, or do they have to do things?
For the most part, I think the audience votes. And you're like up for vote if you are not coupled up, or once everybody is coupled up, because they'll like introduce new people to like throw off the numbers so that somebody will be left alone, that kind of thing. And like once you're coupled up, you're supposed to sleep in the same bed, but a lot of times they don't. Like one will go sleep out on the day beds because it's like in some warm place. So in Love Island, the game, you play as your character who you can, you know, sort of design, and there are three seasons with four bonus seasons. Season two is the best one. Don't even bother with the other two until you've played season two. It's the best. Bobby is my husband. Would die for Bobby anyway. So you play as the main character, who you can name and kind of like dress. There's different outfits you could choose from. They're all like super duper club wear, clothes I cannot fathom wearing in real life. and then you get like little dialogue choices. Like it plays a bit like a visual novel, different events happen and then you determine how your character responds to them. You can start lots of drama. You can be a real sweetie. You can try to, as I do, make it your goal to kiss every single eligible person in the house and then leave with the money at the end. which is what I try to do. I always do like one, like, here's my nice playthrough, and then here's my evil gremlin playthrough. And once you play through it once, you get like anything you've already paid for with gems, because it's, you know, gem based currency in mobile games. If you've bought it once, you don't have to buy it again. So if I bought clothes on one playthrough, I don't have to buy them again. And clothes can give you like little bonuses and stuff, like bonus hearts when you speak to people if they like your outfit. Yeah, it's very silly, and but it's also really endearing. Like, both so Fusebox is the developer of Love Island the game, and Pixelberry is the developer of Choices, and both of those teams seem to have a real care for what they're doing, even though like it's easy to write these games off as being just like shitty trash. There's real care in these narratives. And it's really sweet, especially, I haven't played any of the Choices games in a while because Love Island is happening. as of recording, one of the season two characters, one of your friends whose name is Chelsea, she declares that you are each other's bras, because you're so supportive.
I see.
so you always call each other, your bra. In the current game, it's Chelsea's murder mystery. It has fuck all to do with Love Island, like literally nothing to do with Love Island. But Chelsea's a party planner, and so she rents a mansion for the weekend and invites like a bunch of the contestants over to solve her murder mystery. I can't express how good it is. It's Love Island, like. There's always going to be drama and stuff like that. But one thing that this new arc, the Chelsea's murder mystery, does is it introduces the ability to be polyamorous and to be in an open relationship, which if you try to do that in the base, like the base levels, usually you'll piss somebody off. But in this one, it's like, who's your partner? Are you in an open relationship with them? And what I really appreciated with that is that it's not just that you can date multiple people at the same time. There are some people who don't want to be part of an open relationship. So like, I'm married to Bobby in my game because Bobby's the best. Bobby is a Scottish baker.
Of course.
Who loves puns. So of course I married him. My character's name in the original was Pickle, and now her name is Dishies because I forgot her name was Pickle. And so I decided that because now I had the sneaking suspicion that you could date Priya in this one. I just had the suspicion. I was like, I think I'm going to be able to date Priya, and I love Priya. So I'm like, okay, her and Bobby are in a polyamorous relationship. And then Priya's like, you know, I really went through some stuff after I left the show, and I realized that I had feelings for you. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening. And then she's like, but I don't want to be part of an open relationship. And I was like, fuck, that's fair. Thank you for telling me, Priya. I appreciated that this wasn't like a player sexuality thing where like everybody's unanimously attracted to my, like, and then I can have whatever I want. Cause Priya's just like, no, I don't want to be part of your thruple with Bobby, which Bobby's not to everybody's taste, I guess.
but also it's not just like a Bobby. I can't believe we're doing this. I'm sorry. I just had the full weight of, I was like, I'm going to participate in this conversation and I have something normal to say. And then I had to like accept that I had like a strong feeling about Love Island, the game's representation of polyamory, and had to like accept that into my character.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've done it. I'm moving on. So it's not just a Bobby thing. It's not just like she's like, I'm not into Bobby so much. She's like, I'm not into this relationship structure. And that's really cool to me, is that like some characters are not interested in engaging in relationships in this way. And it's not even just like a like, ew, Bobby's icky. It's like y'all rule, but I can't do this with both of you at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. I really appreciated that. And that's the kind of care that, like, when I'm playing games like Love Island the Game or like the Choices games mm-hmm. that I have played, mm-hmm. I can tell that there are people who have written this game who care.
Yeah.
And I love that. And like, mm-hmm. I know for Pixelberry, the developers of Choices and like the writers of Choices, I know that there are, for example, trans people on the writing staff there. Mm-hmm. And they have introduced trans characters to the narratives. Like in
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, in ways that are like, that I remember, it's been a while since I played it, but I remember it being like fairly respectful.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that they address things like for example, in the very cool vampire one where you start at your new job and then it turns out your hot boss is a vampire.
Amazing.
Your best friend, your best friend is a bisexual Black girl. And she talks about like the experience of being a Black nerd and feeling ostracized from her community.
Oh my God. Wow.
In the game. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then yeah. And then she'll also make jokes about like McCree and Hanzo from Overwatch kissing. There's like a surprising amount of humanity in these games that comes through in the writing that I just really appreciate. And so these games too have just trashy advertisements. Like they look like garbage, especially Love Island the Game. Like I downloaded Love Island the Game with the full expectation that I was going to play it for 10 minutes and be like, what trash? Which is actually reflective of a different game that I downloaded, which is, I have a couple of them. The one that I'm thinking of is definitely The Score, which is like, what if we tried to make one of these like Love Island the Game, but we did it for like a weird, like the perceived male audience, by which I mean like,
oh no,
it's super misogynistic.
Oh no.
and like yeah. It's bad, but I download because I'm like, what is that going to look like when I play it? And the answer is it's bad. It's not good. And the writing is bad. But I really loved, like, I really enjoy Fusebox and Pixelberry's, like, writing. It's really fun and it's really, like, inclusive in a way that feels not, like, really revolutionary or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not out here, like, challenging norms in the way that, like, you know, indie games by trans creators, for example, might, like, really push at boundaries. But it is, it kind of feels like what the norm should be. Like,
it sounds like it's not as outright alienating as the source material.
Yeah. Like, I think that Love Island the Game is like super inclusive and warm and friendly in a way that, that the show is, to my understanding, not. I'm like, there's fucking redemption arcs in. In Love Island the Game, in season two, there's a character named Rocco, who's a real ding dong. He's like, he has a food truck and he travels the world and he never shuts up about how cool he is.
Great. Good for
and
you,
he
Rocco.
Ends up, yeah, he ends up like sort of cheating, not really cheating, but like maybe he does cheat. It's been a while since I played season two, but. There's a lot of drama in the house because of what Rocco does. And then like one of the characters, Lottie, ends up, she's like this witchy character. She starts shit with Priya because of Rocco, I think. And then Rocco gets like dumped from the island because nobody likes him.
Oh no.
And he comes back. This is major spoilers for Chelsea's Murder Mystery Party. So if you're one of the other people out there playing it, please know, but you haven't played it yet, gonna spoil it. Rocco shows up at Chelsea's murder mystery party and he wasn't invited. And it's kind of like, what's going on here? Turns out he's been dating Chelsea and they're like having this whole nice time where like he's like really into Chelsea and it's so sweet. So like, I'm so happy to see Rocco's redemption arc. Honestly, amazing. I think that Lottie was unnecessarily cruel. And at any moment, I will call Lottie out for being like that. But, you know, anyway, it turns out I love mobile games, but only ones that are advertised that are garbage or that like are garbage. They look like garbage, but they're secretly good. Also, if you like Love Island the game, the subreddit is full of memes that are so wild out of context. I never get sick of like sending Love Island the game memes to people because they don't like ones about one of the characters, Gary, is obsessed with cranes.
Sure. Like, wait, hold on. Bird or machine?
Machine.
Sure.
He loves big cranes. I'm going to somebody else could go on. I will find a choice Love Island okay. game meme to share.
I mean, I think this segues into well into the one I'm going to talk about, which is a gacha game from the Tales series, Tales of Crestoria. And my note here says it isn't bad and it might be good, but I also think it's not. And the reason that these are related is that gacha games, not known for their in-depth plots. Well,
what?
Gacha games are known for their profoundly deep and winding and confusing plots, but perhaps not their like not their super considered morality. And Tales of Crestoria is, I mean, it's a Tales game, so it's kind of on a level in terms of weird sexism that comes up. But it's pretty explicitly like dealing with morality. Like the theme of the game is crime. and not in a noir way, in a like what constitutes a crime and what happens when you're tried and convicted unfairly in the court of public opinion and that is your only method of like judge, jury, and execution.
Wow.
Which
How
is
does
an
it
interesting
deal with this stuff?
Which is an interesting concept. And it's executed medium.
Okay.
Not well. But I think it could be worse. And it falls into a trap of like it. So okay, first I need to talk about Tales games in general. The Tales of series is a series of unconnected JRPGs which are similar in structure and similar in like kind of character design and conceptualization, but don't have any relationship with each other typically. Tales Studio started out as like a kind of I don't really understand how game studios are set up, but I understand publishing, so I'm going to use publishing terms. So like publishing houses, big old publishing company, Macmillan. Macmillan is made up of several little imprints. So like First Second is an imprint of Macmillan. Macmillan Kids is an imprint of Macmillan. You know, that kind of thing. Ugh. Bandai Namco is a game developer. Big, giant game company. For a while, Tales Studio was like, it was called, I think, Namco Tales Studio. And it was an independent developer within Bandai Namco as a whole. In the late 2000s or early 2010s, Namco Tales Studio was absorbed into Bandai Namco as a whole. So it stopped being siloed off to the same extent and was just made part of the whole studio. So now Tales games are made by Bandai Namco. This matters. pre-absorption, Tales games have a character that is distinctly different from post-absorption Tales games. I haven't played all of them, so I don't know all of the like individual details, but I'm trying my best. I'm on my way. I've considered buying a PS3 to do this. But, you know, different vibes. Part of that is the process of time, but there's also some like distinctly kind of corporatized design by committee stuff in Tales of Berseria specifically that feel like they wouldn't have happened pre-absorption. Anyway, Tales of Crestoria, designed, written, executed, all post-absorption, all since July of 2020, which very recent. It's we're in the lead up to the first anniversary campaign right now. And one of the things that I feel has changed since the absorption is, oh, I'm sorry. The other thing with Tales games is that they seem, I mean, you know, everything seems like your run-of-the-mill JRPG until you like get into the JRPG. But Tales games specifically typically have like huge second act twists that aren't like everything you've known is a lie, but are like, oh, actually war crimes.
Y'all, okay.
There's war crimes and they are really upsetting. Or it started out war crimes and now it's like war crimes by God.
Oh, okay.
And Berseria, the twist was not like as well executed. It was like war crimes. War crimes by God. And I was like, oh, thank God God is involved, because the war crimes are so boring. And so there's sort of a flatness to the arc in Berseria, which is a post-absorption game. And that's also kind of how Crestoria feels. But I'm also realizing that Crestoria is only a year in. So it's possible that we're in the midst of the big twist right now, and it might start to slap soon. Unclear. But ultimately, even though this concept is like their concept of what is crime, what's the morality of the court of public opinion, the game has like chewed on it a lot, but hasn't gotten very deep into the concept. And I'm waiting to see if with the advent of more gods being in the story,
it's a Persona game. Jeez.
And the kind of revolutionary bent that the main characters have begun to take, if they'll start interrogating not just like the status quo of the world that they have, which is clearly bad. Like, it's obvious that it's bad. Everyone thinks it's bad, except the like straw men who pop up all the time. And start looking at like kind of the underlying systemic problems that would be left even after they changed the system. I don't know. We'll see. I play it every day because it's shiny and I love to see all of the characters from the other Tales games who I love and cherish. And I like to make them punch things.
I'm glad. Like, that, it's so interesting because, like, I don't feel like I play these super involved. I mean, I guess Love Island, the game, is pretty involved, but it's also like, in terms of mechanics, it's as simple as can be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always so in, like, my husband's very into Madden, the mobile game.
Oh my God.
And when I look at him playing it, he's never playing football. I don't know what the fuck he's doing in there, but it's not football.
It's taken me like when did I start playing? I started playing it in maybe November or something like that. And it took me 7 months to learn several core mechanics. Partially because they're not really presented to you in any... I don't know that they're presented to you. I don't know that they're ever explained. I think Tales of Crestoria is like, we're a new gacha game. You've played gacha games before. Good luck. But partially, there's like a lot of little intricacies and currencies and like shit going on, like different avenues that you can pursue in the game. And now I think I get it. I think I've got it all down. I don't think there's any more hidden mechanics, but there could be. I could like click on a button tomorrow and be like, oh, you can sell this? Why?
Yeah, these games can get so complex, and it's like, I wish my husband could write for us about Madden the game, because I'm dying to know what the fuck he's doing in that game at all hours.
Yeah,
he's like collecting cards and auctioning them to get better players. It's so complex. And I'm just like, I'm over here like, which person am I gonna date today?
So Tales of Crestoria has like very little, there are no choices. You're just along for the ride. The story is gonna happen and you're gonna be there and you don't get to participate in it beyond like letting your little dudes punch the enemy. But it is very fun to let your little dudes punch the enemy. No, one of the beautiful things about this game is that it has exactly the amount of like multiplayer engagement that I want it to have, which is that you join a guild and you like donate resources to your guild, and sometimes you get benefits from your guild, and you do not ever have to talk to anybody.
Oh, that's ideal.
Okay. It rules. It was like the game was like, join a guild, you'll get this many like gleamstones, which is a kind of currency. And I was like, God, I guess if I fucking have to. And I did. And nobody has ever talked to me. And it's great.
Perfect. Good.
And the chat like happens every once in a while. Every once in a while, someone's like, hey, there's this like guild-based limited quest that's happening. Y'all want to try to like go a little bit harder so we can get the next box of stuff? No worries if not. And like one person will be like, I'll give it a shot. And that's it. And there's no real discussion. Nobody's like, we as a guild need to make this decision. They're just like, sure, we're all here with exactly the same level of investment, which is not much. But perhaps too much at the same time. Just not like socially invested. I've plugged into this game every day for almost 7 months. And that might be bad. But I'm not going to get mad at anybody in my guild if they don't, like, ace the guild quest. It's not why we're here.
I had something to say and it's gone. I got distracted. I'm looking at the Love Island the game memes.
They're pretty good. I don't understand them. They're pretty good. What is this Sonic one?
So there's a lot of foot fetish jokes and fart jokes inexplicably in seasons 2 and especially in season 3.
Hmm.
So somebody posted what appears to be a screenshot of Sonic the Hedgehog for some reason saying, keep your fetish away from me, with the text, every time Fusebox gives us feet fart options.
This looks like it might be from Sonic Adventure 1.
I'm going to assume that he didn't really say that in the game.
No. I feel like I would remember that.
But yeah, I've truly had something to say in response to what you were saying, and I got distracted by a Photoshop of Bill from season 3 onto an anime girl, and I don't understand it, but it like wiped my brain absolutely clear of thought when I saw it.
That's fair. Anyway, my hot recommendation for Tales of Crestoria is, if you're really into Tales games, it's worth playing, and you don't have to talk to anyone, and that rules.
That's the best. That's ideal.
The best. It also feels like it's pretty well balanced in terms of like how much it asks from you each day. Like, I don't have any tendency towards like gambling, so you can definitely buy a lot of like the currencies, but I don't care enough to have ever been attracted to that. And the game gives you so many like, so it's got like a couple different energy time things. You know how in Candy Crush you have like 5 lives and the lives regenerate?
Yeah.
So yeah. Tales of Crestoria has 3 different of those.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it has your ability points, I don't know, the green ones, which you spend to quests. It has battle points, which you spend to help other people on raids, which are like really big monsters that require several people to kill. And it has the battle passes or whatever the fuck, which you use to battle other characters in the arena, but you're definitely not battling their actual people. Like, these aren't live battles. It's just, if you enter into the arena, it's like, okay, these are your characters, and it sends you off as an AI to fight other people, and also you can play real time fighting AIs of other characters. Anyway, okay. It's fine. It's not complicated. It's really easy to engage with. Again, doing the thing that I love from a mobile game, which is not ever requiring me to interact with another human in any meaningful way. Anyway, the game, you can refill all of these. You can refill them by paying gleamstones, which are your like summon currency, which is a gacha game thing. You can summon characters. It's fine. If you have enough currency. But you can also, there's also like replenishment like items. There's gels, which replenish the battle and the ability points. And the game is constantly fucking giving me this shit. I have like 200 of the ability point replenishment gels. I would never ever have to pay money to play more of this game. I have practically infinite ability points because it keeps giving me shit to refill them. It's great. I don't feel the need to pay money for this at all. And there's no way, the only way that I would want to pay money is if I could like buy an item to get a specific character I want, because it will not give me Guy from Tales of Abyss or Tales from the Abyss. It won't give him to me, and I need him. But the only way that I could get him was to buy a bunch of fucking Gleamstones and play the roulette. And that's not guaranteed, so I'm not going to do it. If I could pay $5 and like pick him out of a bucket, I would. But I have to put on a blindfold and stick my hand in that bucket blindly, and I'm not doing that for money.
I think I have definitely spent some money on Love Island the game, because you use the gems to unlock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like sometimes scenes are locked, and like you can get gems for free, but there aren't enough seasons for me to get as many gems as I need.
I see. No, I would definitely, if I could just be like $5 for a choose your own character ticket, I would have done that months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. No shame. No shame.
But it's not giving me that kind of, it's not giving me that kind of control. So it's fine. It's great. I don't have to spend money. I can play the game kind of as much as I want every day, which isn't very much. It gives me enough daily tasks that I feel like I have purpose every time I log in. And then when I'm done with the tasks, I can be like, I'm done with this game today. Goodbye.
Yeah. I really like games that like kind of place a limitation on how much time you can put into them.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, Nassim, do you want to take us into Project Makeover?
Yeah, I can talk about Project Makeover, which is not at all what the commercials make it seem. The commercials I've been seeing for them are like, here's a pimply girl, and it's like, oh no, how is she ever going to find a boyfriend? That's like not what the game is at all. It's a match three game. And the story revolves, so it's a television, you come in as the like art director, as like the director of this makeover show that has these three, it has the hair guy, Francis, and has the wardrobe specialist. Oh my God, why have I blanked on her name? I will remember her name. And it has the interior decorator, Derek. So it's like a combination of like extreme home makeover and also like self makeover. And it you come in, you as the player character come in because Greta Von something, D something, was the former director, and she's like a terrible human being. All she does is like trash on people or whatever. So they finally fired her, and her entire like life's goal is to ruin the show. Of course. So the story unlocks like as you do the makeover stuff, and you see kind of like what her latest antics are. At some point, she oh my God, why can't I remember what her name is? No, this doesn't bother me. She kidnaps like one of the person's boyfriend because he's like the super hot model that doesn't wear a shirt, and she kidnaps him, and then like later in the film he's just like, ah yes, I went into fashion because my parents didn't love me enough, and she's like, oh no, I'm bonding with you. Like, it's really hilarious in a kind of tragic way, I guess. And the so then like the story progresses as like you get each like episode sort of episode is like this person comes to you, they have like a terribly messy home, it's like one room that you're specifically doing, and they're like, life is falling apart, and they're a mess, and they're unhappy. Like the animation's just like their shoulders are sagging, they look miserable. You know, there's like the first one, I don't even remember what the first one was. Like one of them is like, oh, my dad was a musician, and like I don't have the confidence to go up on stage, and so like you give her a makeover, and she becomes this like rock star or whatever. And so the makeover progresses so that you like makeover. You know, you fix their hair, and then you get them makeup, and you get them clothes, and you make up their style, and you choose from a couple different items. And it unlocks that through coins, and you get the coins by playing the match three. I'm currently on level, wait, let's find out, 522. I've been playing it for, I don't know how. Right now I'm doing a baker who could not find her mother's recipes, and her business is going to go under if you don't do something. Maybe we'll send you little thank you cards or whatever. But the draw of this game really is like the Greta bullshit that happens, because she's just funny. She's just ridiculous. Yeah. Okay. Episode 1 pilot. Just graduated and is in need of a professional look. Pajama pants simply won't do. Reveal the beauty behind the giant glasses and long, wild hair. Remodel her apartment so she can live and work comfortably. I mean, like, that's the kind of stuff. So it's not at all, like, the drama. I mean, you don't have choices, right? There's no meaningful choices. The story, it's like almost visual novel style. The story plays out ahead of you. Your choices are like, am I going to choose this chair, or that chair to put in this corner? And you have, like, you can make your own character. It is surprising, but I really like Match 3 games. So when I say it's surprisingly fun and addictive, it's because I like Match 3 games.
Yeah, I had a problem in Lily's Garden where I liked the Match 3 enough that I stopped watching the story.
I was the opposite.
I was just like, just let me play these levels forever. Oh, you mean I have to read?
So
I'm really bad at Match 3s.
I love them. I feel like they let me turn my brain off, and that's all I want. I like also, like, what this show, what this game does that I think is interesting is that, you know, like, as you get more and more into Match 3, they introduce all these different mechanics. They have all these different fashion-y mechanic or, like, fashion-adjacent mechanic. One of them is, like, collect all the keys so you can get the car from one side to the other, and you're like, okay, I don't know what has to do with fashion. Another is, like, collect, you know, there here are these gems that you can only get when you just use a power-up on them or, like, whatever. Or the latest one that I've gotten is here are moths on sweaters, and you have to get the moths off the sweaters, or they just migrate from sweater to sweater. But it makes it like oh, now I have to use like my brain a little bit. But there's no, it's not what the commercials tell you. There are no pimple poppings, alas. Oh. And I'm one of those people that loves watching pimple popping. It's gross. Give me a good cyst any day.
No.
It's nasty. It's nasty. I blame my dad for having my pimples as a teen. But anyway, neither here nor there. Happy Father's Day. it's
oh my God.
Yeah. It's such people can go and like give you either, it's either like a hot panting face, a starry-eyed face, or a cool like sunglasses face based on your director outfits. My person has purple hair right now and is otherwise dressed like Goro Akechi from Persona 5. Of course, what else is new in my life? And yeah, there's not really, you know, there's not really much to say about this game, I guess, like, to be honest, but it is enjoyable. I really like the postcards. After you like make over a person's life, they send you thank you postcards, and those are very sweet. Like, oh, look at you making up for your life.
Dude, so, I love a postcard or a message after somebody exits a plot. My friend and I are playing Pyre together, and we sent a character back to the Commonwealth, to the surface. And he sent us a letter, and we almost sobbed. We got so emotional. I love you, Hedwyn. I miss you.
Yeah, here, let me read one, because they're not too long. Nerp, because that's my name for everything. Thank you for serving as my muse. When you came into my life, I was in my blue period. To be honest, I could barely find the motivation to pick up my paintbrush. But you helped me to realize that until I loved myself, I wouldn't be able to find art fulfilling. Thankfully, because of the makeover and my amazing new studio, I'm back to it. Now, there doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day. I'm opening a new gallery soon, from toxic waste to living space. I'll put you on the VIP list for the grand opening. Inspired, Vinny. It's very sweet.
It's very cute.
So yeah, they all also are like inexplicably buff. I don't understand. You're like, that's kind of, you know, unsurprisingly, some body diversity is not something this game brings. But you know, they'll bring someone. I'm like, oh, fine, like a fat character, and then he takes off his shirt. You're like, oh, you're ripped. Okay, never mind. Like, okay, sure. But yeah, it kills hours in the day.
No, it sure does.
In our Slack chat, I just posted two screenshots.
I am screaming. Really, because I'm recording, but internally I'm shrieking.
There are two moods to Love Island the game that I have decided to tell through two screenshots.
Oh my god.
In the first, you have two characters. This is Harry and Seb, and then my character is down at the bottom just chilling. And Harry, after having a nice conversation with Seb about emotions and anger and dealing with difficult emotions.
Wait, I need to describe Harry's face. Because
it's misleading. Seb is the one looking directly into the camera.
Oh, well, I'm not going to describe. Then I'm going to describe Seb's face. That is misleading. I'm going to describe Seb's face. Seb has long hair, which is kind of tied up into a bun on the top of his head. He's white. He's ripped, as I assume all of these characters are. He's got like a neatly trimmed beard, full kind of pink lips, and the most beautiful eyelashes I have ever seen in a drawing this small.
And a nice eyebrow score.
He's got like lip liner.
Yeah. The worst thing about Seb is that he is not dateable.
Oh, no.
huge point of anger in the Love Island the game community.
He's wearing trunks with skulls and roses on them, but not in an edgy way. It's just like they seem casual.
Yeah, he's a emo boy, and he starts a podcast with the other undateable character from this season. In the postseason when you all go on a cruise together.
Incredible. I'm sorry to have derailed.
It's okay. No, I think that's good for people derailing. To get the full experience. So they've just had Harry and Seb have just had this conversation that's like a deep conversation about like their feelings and about anger and that kind of stuff. And Harry, who is saying, therapy helped me out big time, because they just had like a really I think in season two and season three, they're both like in-depth discussions about the benefits of therapy, and specifically the benefits of therapy relating to male characters. Like the conversations always come up around male characters. The second screenshot I have included is my character looking very excited and saying, I am so excited to suck a toe. And those are the two moods of Love Island the game.
Stunning. We will put these, I will put these in the Patreon post as the show notes, because iconic.
Yeah, I've got some wild screenshots of this game, and it's like, also every season begins with a discussion of consent.
Oh my god!
And like whether like, and it's usually like it'll often be around things like wearing a condom and that kind of thing.
Incredible.
And then there's just foot fetish jokes.
This is like in direct contrast with, I used to play a lot of dating sims, like Tomei specifically dating sims that also had like gacha components, specifically by this company called Cybird. So the two I played mostly, because the other ones like you had to pay money or whatever, was Midnight Cinderella and Love and Magic in Wonderland. And yeah, there's none of that. There's absolutely none. I mean, it's very visual novel style. It's not like you have choices or anything, but nope. There's just a lot of supposed sweeping off your feet. So
incredible.
Yeah.
I'm out here like, maybe I'll play Love Island the game.
I downloaded it. I'm excited.
I'm glad. It's like, all right, it's really silly.
My phone's in the other room, but I'll download it later.
Definitely play season two first, because that's, I think, is the best one. And then you all can tell me who your favorite and least favorite characters are, because I'm dying to know.
Excellent. I don't know how. I can't promise I'll get very far.
That's fair.
How heterosexual are you required to be in this game?
You're not.
Excellent. Oh, then I'll get much farther then.
Yeah, you can date. You can't date every character, because there are some straight characters, but there is usually at least one.
That's also good though. Well, okay.
Yeah,
that's not great. Only at least one is not that many.
There's always at least one. There in season three, I think there are maybe three or four, maybe.
Okay.
And some of the other characters will date each other, even if like characters of the same gender will date each other too. Ooh.
Okay.
Often not during the game, but in like post game stuff, they will often get together, and it's really cute. And a lot of times I didn't see it coming.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, how nice for them.
Now not only am I considering playing Love Island, I'm excited
Okay. I'm trying to find, I know I took a screenshot in here somewhere of one of the consent conversations. I'm trying to find it.
Incredible.
I got to plug, since you mentioned like queer dating, I got to plug the Arcana, because that one is just a visual novel. There's not like, you can have two ends to the root, the upright or the verse, because it's around tarot-based mm-hmm. stuff. But that one, yeah, that one is explicitly queer. Characters are queer. Mm-hmm. One of the characters is canonically non-binary, although uses he, him pronouns. And I think the team is all, I'm not 100% sure. I think the team is also queer, but it's like a really, really well done visual novel game. So.
And it's also a mobile game.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It is also a mobile game.
Sick. All right. I'm not that into visual novels. I just love to engage with things that my friends like, especially when they're weird.
Yeah.
Arcana is pretty weird. It's really good though. Oh, I like Mary Portia forever. She's my favorite.
I need to give the Arcana another try. I know I started it and I didn't really get into it, but that I think that was also before I decided that like mobile games are like an ideal way to pass the time when I'm watching like a shitty reality show or something. I think part of it was just like over the course of quarantine, I played so many mobile games because I was just trying to like turn my damn brain off.
Mm-hmm. And that
let me tell you,
back.
Love Island was investing.
And that brings us back to the intro, which is things we do when we can't possibly be alone with our thoughts.
Yeah, and I'm very glad now that Love Island is doing this fun season. So this fun murder mystery season in which, oh, I forgot to mention that Chelsea, your character, who's your bra, she is carrying around a notebook that she has made called Love, Laugh, Murder. And like, I want it. I want the Love, Laugh, Murder notebook so bad. Like, market that fuse box. I will buy it immediately.
Oh, I'm Googling it.
Incredible.
Let me see if I can find it. Anyway, great. Do either of you have anything else to say about mobile games? Because I just have like a list of other games that I play, but none of them are as interesting as Tales of Crestoria.
I think. Go ahead.
Sorry, go on.
Oh no, you go ahead.
I cannot talk about mobile games without talking about Mystic Messenger at some point.
Yeah, you didn't mention Mystic Messenger, did you?
I need to catch up because there's actually been new content. It's been a while. But y'all, I have, as you both know, we have a popular series where I examine the problems in this game that I love very deeply. This game has made me cry. Like I literally have sat down on my bed sobbing. I have also spent too much money in this game. You don't need to spend money in this game, but I was impatient and wanted hourglasses so I could unlock some of the new stuff. It's wild. Like, I mean, there's a cult. There's poisoning, you know, attempted murder. Someone gets shot. I mean, it's like, it gets really intense. Apparently, they've expanded one of Jumin's bad roots, where I think the one where he ties ribbons around your ankles is like usually the final picture. So I don't know how I feel about an expansion of a bad root, but we'll see.
That game truly is so wild.
It's wild.
I have a quick sidebar. Mm-hmm. I Googled, what was it? Live, Laugh, Murder? Love, Laugh, Murder? I
wrote Love, Laugh, Murder, but it might have been Live, Laugh, Murder.
Okay, well, I Googled Love, Laugh, Murder, Love Island and found an article. First result, The Sun, a known reputable paper. Yes. Villa Killer, dating show dubbed Murder Love Island will see contestants dodge killer.
I'm sorry, what?
Posted 27 May 2021, we already enjoy seeing the contestants on Love Island at each other's throats, and now ITV2 are set to bring us a show with a real killer element.
I wonder if that's why they did this murder mystery thing. It's like some kind of weird promo for the show, but the characters in the game are so fucking wholesome.
Killer Camp will feature 12 contestants who have to find romance, companionship, and avoid a killer on the loose.
I want to watch this garbage.
Oh my god.
Mildly concerned. Please don't kill people on television. Did you guys hear? Oh, okay, this is going to be a sidebar. So never mind. I'll very briefly, there is a show that was, I don't even remember what it was called, but it was hosted by a man who kept saying, and I'm a scientist. He wasn't. Where they either were living in the past or living in the present. And in the past, like people like didn't have food. They didn't have heat. Like, so I guess people would do a lot of stuff for reality television. I gotta find the show.
Someday I'm going to have a reason to talk about the fake reality show Siberia. And when that moment comes, I'm ready. I'm not going to talk about it now, but
a tasty morsel for the future.
Yeah. Someday's going to, I was one of like, me and my husband were like one of the 10 people watching the show Siberia, and I miss it. It was so weird.
All right.
I was just briefly reminded of that because of murder and reality shows. Mobile games are so interesting. That's what I come away with.
They're fascinating. And like, yeah, the fact that it is, it really is like, it is a genre within a medium.
Yeah.
And that genre has like many subgenres. Like you've got the match three, you've got the narrative dating sims, like, you know, but game what I can tap and not think is like, such a fascinating space to be in.
Mm-hmm. There's so much diversity among mobile games in like every conceivable sense. Like the mechanics can vary pretty widely. The quality certainly can vary very widely.
Yeah.
And just they are fascinating.
I'm looking forward to your eventual piece on advertising because the advertising is an added element that's like absolutely
mm-hmm.
absurd. It's off the hook.
I have so many screenshots of mobile game ads. It's outrageous. Someday I'll even organize them so I don't have to look through every picture I've ever taken. Someday I will write that article.
Well, if I actually finish any of Love Island, I'll hit y'all up and we can do a round table.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts on Love Island. Do start with season two, though.
Yes, yes, I will start with season two. I understand. Yeah.
season one is okay, and season three is like really cute, but it's like everybody gets along and there's no drama.
I see.
Whereas in season two, like Lottie sucks. Sorry, I love Lottie, but she sucks. And Hope and Noah are just so much. Anyway.
All right.
The show is called Opposite Worlds, by the way. It's
what was that?
It's called Opposite Worlds.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was like a reality show?
Yeah, it only lasted one season because like a guy broke his leg and it was a whole I don't know, it just seemed like a whole thing. So yikes.
Do we have anything else to add about mobile games?
Nope.
Or anything?
Cool. Nope.
So this has been our cool episode on hot takes on cold games and mobile games, some of which are cold. The new season of Love Island, the game, though, it's pretty fresh. So,
but is it hot? Anyway,
is it hot? Not really. At least not in my experience. Okay. Maybe if I bought some of the scenes or if I wasn't like forlorn over the fact that Priya doesn't want to join my thruple. Bobby is running around in a maid outfit, but like that was a mistake. He got the wrong character.
Oh.
It was supposed to be Marisol's character. And he's like, no, I'm doing it.
I'm committed.
Yep. So my husband is my husband in the game, not in real life. My game husband is running around in a maid's outfit,
that's
which is
excellent.
Good for him. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. You can find us online at sidequest.zone, where we publish great gaming criticism and news, mostly criticism, but sometimes news and all that good stuff, all by writers of marginalized genders, because that's what we're about. You can find me at Melissa Brinks on Twitter, where sometimes I will fire off a tweet and then immediately log off. I don't believe in engagement. I don't believe in
that's good. That's healthy.
In anything. How about the rest of you?
I am on the social medias at Jamsternazzy, where I am trying to post things sometimes. I have to start doing book promo things, I guess. So,
true.
Yeah.
A not very exciting problem caused by a very exciting thing.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm Zora. I'm at ZH Gilbert on Twitter. Is that true? Hang on. I forgot my own Twitter handle.
I believe that's you.
Yes, it is true. Oh, yeah. Thank God. Okay, I'm at ZH Gilbert on Twitter. I've been at that handle for several years. I just forgot. I don't know. I tweet.
Nice.
Thanks.
Excellent.
Sometimes you just gotta post.
Sometimes you just gotta post. Thank you to Alexander Nakarada for the use of our theme song, Base Thee, which is used under a Creative Commons Zero license. And thanks as always for joining us, and go take a nap. I might go take a nap. Listen to me. I sound awful.
Eat lunch. Yeah, your voice has definitely gotten more scratchy, so go take care of yourself.
Yeah, will do.